From the Lend Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the first day of October 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will join us to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets. And Mike Tenora will be here, too, from Chicago and T-Storm Weather to discuss what's been happening across the planet. Is it really relates to dry conditions in the Great Plains states and the winter wheat crop there. Good harvest conditions in the Corn Belt, dry though, and then dry in South America and dry again in Russia and kind of dry still in Ukraine. So we'll have some things to take up with him as it relates to the growing regions across the globe on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day up 3¾ cents. It settled at $3.82¾. The March at $3.92, 3¾ higher. And July corn at $4.01, 3¾ cents higher. Next year's December, $3.93¼, up 1¾. November soybeans unchanged at $10.23½ for the harvest month. The January at $10.27¼, also unchanged. And March unchanged at $10.21. Next year's July, a half lower at $10.22¼. And November of 2021, settlement price there at $9.66¼. A quarter of a cent lower. The bean oil futures down 72 cents at $32.65. Bean meal at $3.45, up $5.30. July soft red winter wheat and nickel lower, $5.77 the settlement price. The hard red down 2¾ at $5.27½. Live cattle futures October, 2½ cents lower at $108.52½. Feeder cattle in the October down 42½ cents at $140.92½ for 100 pounds and lean hogs. The October contract there up $1.35 at $74.15. However, December was down 25 cents at $62.85. Crude oil for the day down about $1.65. Ethanol futures unchanged. Heating oil 3½ cents lower. And gasoline at $1.14¾ per gallon, down around 3¼ cents for the day. Natural gas down $0.01¾. The Dow 85 points lower. The dollar down 0.09 for the day. And the gold futures up $15.70. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to talk about the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us today. What did you make of yesterday's move in the market after the grain stocks numbers, and did it change anything technically for either corn or soybeans?
Well, I think, you know, like I mentioned last week, I view stocks reports as basically explanations of why the market performed the way it did during the past 30 days. And as we all know, the past 30 days or so, the market had been climbing higher. And then when the stocks report came out and actually showed that the stocks on hand were less than what USDA had been telling us for the past several months, then that just fueled the market all the higher than what it was. So I think we have a, for the most part, a counter seasonal move. Now, USDA's October report could change things a little bit, but you know, the month of September was counter seasonal to the upside. And the way I view it, the market was able to make progress rowing a boat upstream. Okay, now we're into October. This is during the first 10 days or so of October. The seasonals usually turn up and then begin a climb into November. A lot of times soybeans make an October low and never look back. December corn maybe comes back and tests that low in early December. But now I think we're in a situation where the market now is rolling a boat downstream. So it's going to make it easier to go up. So yesterday's action is extremely positive. Anytime you make new highs for the move, especially you did on corn, you did not do that on soybeans. But for the week, we've got a nice reversal to the upside going on the lead futures. It kind of looks like now we could be in position to maybe climb higher as we go on into first couple weeks of November or so. But we still have that hurdle to get through on October. But I think the market is in good position here to maybe go higher into November. And then we'll take another, we'll take that month at a time, I guess. I think we're going to some levels that we haven't seen for a while. I think beans are in excellent shape to go back and test at least the high that we had here back in February of 18, which is up there around 1084 or something like that, 1064. So I do think, you know, the 1050 to $11 range is in the cards for lead futures soybeans, corn, kind of the same way. I think last week I kind of mentioned that the market was kind of in position maybe to go back into that congestion area that it had last winter, which that is where we're at today. We did take futures. We're in that 390 area, 385 to 390 area. Next stop would probably be the $4 area, and we'll kind of go from there. But again, the weekly action on corn is positive. If you kind of take this last 3 weeks, last week was kind of the consolidation week. You kind of use the last 3 weeks as the midpoint here of 370, let's say, coming off of our low about 310. That adds that 60 cents. So you add 60 cents on to 370. It kind of gives you a target of maybe 4.25, 430 for lead futures corn. Let's see if we could do that on soybeans. Soybeans, if you'd want to kind of use the last 3 weeks as maybe a congestion, you want to kind of call, let's say 1010 as a midpoint. Let's say we're going to come off of the, we're going to come off of an $8 low. So you could add $2 to that. So we could be talking about maybe $12 on soybeans at some point in time as a technical objective. And I want to caution everybody, this is a technician talking. I'm not out in the combine. I don't know what your yields are getting. I don't know what USDA is going to say. But I do think cyclically we're in a window here, you know, about a 90-day window that we could make a major high in the market. And if it's a true bull market, it'll make a high in the last half of that window. And that last half of that window kind of points to me the first half or so of November. So that's they kind of fit both on corn and soybeans. So if I would be telling anybody, I think over the next let's say 4 to 6 weeks is going to be some selling opportunities that one probably will need to take advantage of.
Is corn or soybeans, do you think, technically in a better position to make that move?
Technically, I'd say equally.
I mean, the fundamentals look like they probably lay with soybeans at the moment, at least until we get the October WASDE and crop production report. But technically, does one show difference to the other, or does it matter very much?
I don't think the way I'm viewing the technicals, I think I would say both corn and beans are equally on solid footing on technically. Now, fundamentally, though, I mean, what the stocks report did was more important to the corn market than probably what it did to the bean market is it by USDA bringing the stocks down that much, it brings next year's carryout underneath $2 billion or 2 billion bushels. Now that all depends on what demand is, but I mean, prior to that stocks report, you know, you go 2-3 months ago, we were looking about maybe you know, that stocks number climbing all the way to 2.5, 2.7, something like that. Now we're talking about an ending stocks number underneath 2 billion. That's not super bullish, but at least it is positive. Soybeans, we probably still have a ways to go before you would consider that really, that we don't have enough houses for sale in the subdivision. But see, we got a new crop coming at us in South America, and that's what may, you know, put the ropes on soybeans fundamentally. But if they would ever get into any kind of weather issues, then soybeans just slices right through and goes on into the teens pretty quick, I think. So, I mean, I really like the chart. I've liked it for a long time, and it just seems like it's wanting to improve a little bit. And, you know, like I said, my cyclical work has always favored some kind of high here in the last half of the marketing year toward fall. And here I am. Now I'm trying to pick out which week it's going to be. And my best guess right now is we'll go for that mid-November plus or minus a couple weeks, and we'll kind of go from there.
All right. Well, you have done a good job for the year. That's for sure. I can recall you talking about this early in the season, early in the year, in fact. So I do appreciate it. And good luck. We're all pulling for you.
So, all right.
Hey, thanks much,
well,
man.
Okay. Take care. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, that's Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, and he will talk to me later this afternoon for Commodity Week. We'll record that and post it up to the website tonight by about 6 o'clock. Be sure to visit there and listen to us on your Bluetooth in the Combine. We're now joined by Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather in Chicago to discuss the growing regions and the agricultural weather forecast around the nation. Thank you so much for being with us today, Mike. Let's start here in the Midwest. It's been beautiful, though, again, it's been dry. I want to know what you think about conditions, not only for the Corn Belt, but also for the Plain State, because I think some of the hard red winter wheat sowing may be in a difficult space at this time.
Well, it's going to be very easy to plant wheat, so that's not going to be the problem. The potential problem, if there is one, is that there's no rain on the horizon for the next 10 to 14 days. And by the time we get there, that means that most of the hard red winter wheat crop will not have received any rain over a five-week period. That will leave the coverage of 30-day dryness the highest in more than 9 years across the U.S. hard red winter wheat belt. Now, keep in mind, though, that it did rain pretty heavily and across a widespread area between September 7 and September 10. And because of that, the overall situation is not as problematic as it might be had that rain not occurred. So we're basically going to plant in dry conditions, and it's going to stay dry into the middle of the month. And then after that, we'll need to see some rains start to show up so that wheat crop can develop healthily before we move into the winter.
What do harvest conditions look like in the Corn Belt?
Well, there's not a whole lot happening in the Corn Belt. The same pattern that's affecting the plains is also affecting a wide area of the central U.S. Because of that, we're just looking for mainly dry conditions, and there's no major rain events on the horizon. We'll see a few showers today, a few more this weekend, but that's about it. And overall, it looks pretty ideal for harvesting over the next 10, 12, maybe even the next 14 days.
Come back to wheat. We'll stay in the northern hemisphere, but check in on Ukraine and Russia.
Well, both of those areas were experiencing fairly significant drought as of 5 to 7 days ago. Since then, Ukraine saw a significant rain event over the last several days. And because of that, concerns over dryness in Ukraine are much less than what they were just a week ago. That same system did not move into Russia, though. And because of that, we're still concerned about developing drought conditions across a big chunk of Russia. Now, they are planting wheat at the moment, kind of like we are in the U.S. And the situation, based on what we can see, looks like this. It's going to stay pretty dry in Russia going forward, so that will be a challenge for farmers there, because once we get deeper into October, one of two things will happen. We'll either get too late in the year to plant wheat because the cold season will arrive, or it'll stay dry. And if it stays dry, then you won't be able to plant all of your crop either. So we think there are some legitimate concerns taking place in Russia. In Ukraine, it's a little trickier because now it did rain. It does look pretty dry and mild once we get into next week. So that will probably allow some farmers who were very concerned a week ago to get out in their fields and start to plant some more of that wheat crop in advance of the impending cold season. It doesn't look very cold in the near term or even the medium term. So if we can get through the month of October without a start of the winterish season with snows and all that stuff, we might be able to get more of that crop planted.
And then in South America, can you talk to me a little bit about the start to the growing season in Brazil and then through Argentina as well? The dry conditions there are problematic.
Well, you're absolutely right. And it really comes down to a couple of different things. Let's just focus on Brazil. And I want you to keep in mind that Brazil is basically divided into a northern region and a southern region. That northern region is where we start to plant soybeans at this time of the year. But before we can plant soybeans, we need the dry season to end. And once the dry season ends, we start to see a lot of rain, and it pretty much rains most days for the following 6 months, and that's how their climate works. Well, the way it looks at the moment, there's no rain on the horizon. It should be raining by now, but there's no real rain in the forecast until we get into October 12th, 13th, maybe the 14th or the 15th. And that's pretty late. 2 years ago, planting was widespread at this time of the year. And 1 year ago, planting was beginning, even though it had been fairly dry, but rains were starting to show up. So this is going to push the start of soybean planting in the northern half of Brazil's growing belt pretty far out from where it normally would be. And that will, of course, become a concern later on next year, because as soon as we harvest this soybean crop, they like to plant corn. And that corn is going to get pushed further out because soybeans are being planted late to very late this growing season. So that's the northern area. In the southern area, it pretty much rains year-round, so you don't expect to see any dryness. But it is very dry in and near Paraná and Paraguay, and that's where those southern soybeans are produced. So that's a reflection of a dry spell and not something to do with the dry season because it just rains all the time. There's no real rain in the forecast in most of that region over the next 10 days, maybe even the next 12 to 14 days. And so it is a concern because it could stay dry there. We know it'll start to rain in the north, but we don't know if it'll start to rain in the south because they have a climate more like the United States where you can have a wet spell or you can have a dry spell. It's not so much clockwork like what you have in the northern parts of Brazil. You mentioned Argentina. Argentina was a concern a couple of weeks ago, but they saw some decent rainfall over the last weekend. And because of that, overall concerns there are not nearly as high as they were. They should be able to start planting corn and sunflowers much more uniformly over the next week or so, though they still need to see more rain. There's no major rains on the horizon, so maybe that'll become a topic later on this month.
Hey, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we had a lot to get through, but it was good talking to you.
And we'll talk with you again next week, too. That, of course, is Mike Tenura. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Matt Bennett's now here. He's with AgMarket.net in Windsor, Illinois, and in the combine this afternoon cutting soybeans. Thanks, Matt. You've been in the combine the last three times we've talked to you, so I would suspect that you're moving along on farming pretty good by now.
Yeah, we're getting along great. I mean, we're kind of running into, we got all of the early stuff out, and then at this point in the game, some of the beans are lagging around just a little bit. And so, we haven't been able to just cut all the beans we wanted to cut the last couple of days. We've been having to look around and find the right ones and actually quit a little bit early last night. So, I guess that's just the way it is right now. And then our corn is getting there, the later corn. I think that May corn will probably shell here in the next week. It's just a matter of, figuring out exactly where we want to go and what we want to do.
I have, through the growing season, told you that you were probably in the garden spot of America this year. Has that been maintained from the yields you've been pulling in?
You know, I think that the soybean yields for me have been nothing short of pleasantly surprising. Very, very happy on the bean yields. Corn yields as well, I think on average, have been really, really good. I think they could have been flat out incredible had we not lost the nitrogen we lost. But regardless. The highs are good enough that it's dragging up some of the lows. So hearing a lot of people that are very happy with yield. I think management, certainly a big deal this year. Beans, I'm hearing, that did not have fungicide, maybe hadn't fared near as well. But there's no doubt that there's some disparity out there, but for the most part, yields are good.
What'd you make of the grain stocks report from yesterday?
Well, I mean, you know, you've talked to me several times the last few months, so you're probably not too surprised. And I really thought they would drop stocks. It's not that I, I'm trying to pat myself on the back. What I'm saying is, you know, the basis spreads and carry indicated to me all along that we didn't have near the corn sitting around that the USDA was suggesting that we had. And so, you know, I felt pretty confident that we needed to make some sort of an adjustment. They made that adjustment, got us under $2 billion. I think moving forward, it's definitely going to have an impact. It'll be very interesting to see what yields come out here in October because, you know, there's no question that you don't want to lose a whole lot of yield because you're getting to some levels that could keep this excitement in the markets going.
All right. And what are you telling producers now that are running soybeans across the scale?
Well, I have a hard time not selling them. You know, the kind of rally we've seen, if you want to hold on to ownership, I've got no issue, you know, putting some sort of a limited risk plan in place. But, you know, ignoring $10 plus beans probably isn't the smartest thing to do. You know, after we rallied for 6 or 7 weeks. So, you know, you had an extremely bearish August report and have done nothing but rally ever since. And so I really don't want to ignore that.
And for corn, any suggestions producers should be heeding at this time?
I like corn ownership. You know, we're still only 40% sold moving forward. If I'm selling corn across the scale, which is probably what I'd recommend for the bushels that you don't store at home, I'm going to keep ownership. You can keep ownership so much cheaper than what you can commercially storing that corn. And you already quantify what you're getting per bushel. So I really like some call spreads, just some limited risk type activity to keep you in ownership.
I want to come back to soybeans for just a second, because there was a point where it appeared that it might be worthwhile to lock in 2021. I take it that's probably not the case now?
Well, you know, it just depends. I mean, I think locking in a portion of bushels is not a bad idea. I'm not, you know, 10-15% to get started, I've got no issue with that. But no doubt that if you get these carryout levels much tighter than what they already are, I have a hard time thinking that this bean market's not going to have some fireworks for a while, especially, you know, with the dryness in South America. China's going to have to come to the U.S. for beans, it appears, at least until mid to late February. And so, you know, we may end up exporting more beans even than what we think right now. So I don't want to get too carried away with new crop sales. But at the same time, I know I can make money at some of the levels we've got closer to $10. It's, again, it's tough to ignore those.
Hey, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net. Joined us from Windsor, Illinois on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.